Begin this morning worship service with the, or this afternoon worship service with the singing of hymn number 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favors to dispense, why to thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said I'll meet thee there. 942.
Thank you.
The reading out of God's most holy word for this afternoon, you can find in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Just for the reading of God's most holy word, may he add his blessing and teach us now to pray. O most holy and sovereign almighty God, Lord, thou who art the one and the true and the only God of heaven and earth, O thou who hath all things in thy hands, even us, our lives, and our circumstances. O thou, Lord, who art wise in all thy ways, and nothing too hard unto thee, and nothing unknown unto thee. Lo, we come before thee, to present all our state, to confess all our sin, to acknowledge, Lord, our unworthiness and inability. And yet we come unto thee, Lord, for we have no other place to go, nor would we seek no other place. O Lord, there is none that hath resisted thy will. There is none can shut the door that thou hast opened. And there is none that cast away those whom thou hast chosen. O Lord, we bow before thee, who hath that eternal covenant of election. Thou who hath thy glorious Son to perform those precious works of salvation. Thou who hath thy blessed Spirit to teach poor sinners. O how great thou art, O Lord God, in all thy doings. How wondrous art thou in all thy works. And yet, Lord, today again we may come to this throne of grace. We may come unto thee, Lord, a God of mercies, of loving kindnesses ever of old, everlasting to everlasting. O may we come unto thee, Lord, who art faithful in thy word, in thy promises. Thou shalt perform that which thou hast spoken. And Lord, we do ask this afternoon that thou would shower us with thy blessings, that thou would open the windows of heaven unto a prepared people to pour thy gospel truths in the heart. O Lord, thou with whom there is nothing too hard, and whom not even the chiefest rebel, the hardest of sinners can resist, that thou would come into the dead hearts, the dead spirits, and that thou would grant life, that thou would bring in convictions, and that thou would stir up those careless souls that they might see their dangerous state, oh, that they might see their poverty, their foolishness, and wretchedness, that there may be the crying and the stirrings up of the souls in the pews, there may be the breaking down of the door of the ear, and the sacred preparation of the heart to receive the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that there may be that word that is spoken in thy precious word, that I have much people in this city, many people that must yet be brought in, a people that may be encouraged, a people that may be enticed, a people that may be constrained by thy love to come to embrace that gospel of Christ for the chiefest of sinners, to come by faith to lay hold upon that righteousness by faith in Christ, a people who shall taste the wholesomeness and efficacy of thy precious blood over Emmanuel. O Lord, glorify thy own self. Elevate thy worthiness and the excellency of thy name in the salvation of sinners. And grant even this day, Lord, that there may be that people that are brought further along that gospel way, a people whose feet may walk in the footsteps of their beloved Master and Savior Jesus Christ, a people, Lord, whose hearts may be softened and touched, a people humbled further in the dust according to their own unworthiness and the wondrous love of Christ Jesus, a people melted again of the blessed visits of Christ, the voice of Jesus Christ speaking peace and comfort, and the love that melts a soul in wonder and amazement. Lord, we pray for these blessings. Do not pass us by this day. Oh, we long, Lord, for a gospel day, a Sabbath rest, that revelation of thy precious word, the riches, the savor of that word made known. These things, Lord, we cry for even now. Lord, implant thy faith, that living, that true faith, that abideth to the end of time. Implant within us, Lord, a living hope, a well-grounded and well-founded hope upon Jesus Christ alone. O grant us, Lord, an eye to behold yon lovely man in a tongue that is tuned to sing the praises of our beloved Savior, our sacred and wonderful husband and friend. O that great King that resides in his throne, that great King that has set forth before us his scepter of righteousness, and that great King by whom we are delivered from our enemies. O glorify the precious truths of Emmanuel, that gracious Lamb of God, that one that cleanseth from all sin. Lord, bind thy people together in love, in humility, unfeigned humility and Christian zeal. Stir up dead hearts, careless hearts, indifferent ones, those that have grown cold over time. Lord, bring within them the reflections of their lives, and bring in that need that thou might visit again, melt again, draw nigh again. O Lord, that we might truly become those bright shining lights, or that salt that hath yet its savor. O gracious God, remember thy people, for we come to confess again this day, Lord, we can do nothing without thee. There is no fruit upon the barren tree, the lifeless tree, without thy virtue, without thy blood, and without thy life. O Lord, then stir us up and grant us to become a praying people, a wrestling people, the throne of grace, that we might know thee and understand thy truth within us, and that we might be made a means to bring other sinners unto Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, remember our cause and remember our dear brethren as they do preach thy word. Oh, give them that strength and liberty, and bless them, Lord, with a fervency of spirit. Grant them that urgent cry, that cry that ceases not day nor night. Grant them, Lord, the sound of the trumpet. Oh, the true sound of the trumpet in warning, and the true sound of the trumpet to bring to Christ Jesus. Lord, help them, for they do feel their poverty. Remember thy servants in darkness, and those that bow down low in distress. Oh, those, Lord, who long for thy appearance again. Oh, in these solemn teachings of thy servants, Lord, that thou might sustain them, and that thou might remember the aged in the many years of laboring, in the weariness of body. Lord, remember each one. Grant them the testimony out of their own mouths of thy faithfulness, of thy kindness, and that thou dost never leave nor forsake according to thy precious promises. Lord, we pray too that thou might give us more men that thou would thrust out now into this world, into thy vineyard, give them an appointed place, and grant us then, Lord, that great need. O men whom thou hast taught, not false shepherds and deluders of souls, but grant, Lord, those who are made true, who speak the truth, and bring poor sinners to Jesus. O Lord, we cry unto thee for help and for deliverance. We cry, Lord, for thy mercy and for thy presence within us. We cry, Lord, for that favor of our nation and our leaders. And we plead, Lord, for mercy rather than judgment. And we confess if we have sung, thou art just, if thou, Lord, sends judgment. O Lord, thou art merciful. Thou art powerful, none are too hard, who hearts thou canst not touch. And do thou as thou did to a ruler of old, and to be smitten in the dust of abasement, and to bring that most solemn confession, now I know that the Lord God of Israel reigneth, and he doth according to his will in the armies of heaven and in the inhabitants of this earth. Lord, remember us. Remember our dear friends who have brought their loved father and dear grandfather and that dear widow. Now, Lord, remember them. Oh, we bring them to thy throne of grace. Lord, thou knowest the thoughts even now. Thou knowest the thoughts that have been brought to the reality of this shell, this human body laid in the grave, their dear father. Oh, Lord, the memories of him, that these things might smite the heart, that bring down to repentance, that might bring souls to look up unto thee for the preparation of their souls. Lord, remember the family. Remember those touched by these truths, our dear friends who also know these solemn realities. Even recently, how many, Lord, have been touched again. Oh, Lord, we plead that thou truly might teach in the sorrows of these things, and that give an uplifted eye, that they too shall soon appear before thy judgment seat, and we too all together. O God, do teach us. We are darkened in sin and darkened in understanding, and there is no feeling within us to stir us up. But Lord, do have mercy. Oh, we rely on thy mercy, and we plead that precious mercy alone. Favor us, O Lord, with thy teachings, and remember each of our friends in troubles, in weakness of body, in anxieties of spirit, and burdens that daily weighed upon them, burdens too heavy to carry. Oh, that thou would prove that burden bearer, that thou would prove that gracious counselor, that thou would come, thou glorious physician, and that they might be blessed in affliction and blessed in grief, that thou would come to wipe the tears from the eyes and relieve the heavy weight of the day, that thou might be glorified and poor sinners might taste something of gospel blessings. O Lord, remember us, we pray. Bless thy sacred and precious word, that holy inspired word that thou hast given unto us, that thou hast promised shall abide forever and ever. The word of truth, the word of wisdom, the word of the fear of the Lord, the word of the revelations of thy Son Jesus Christ, and thy truths, thy comforts made known unto Zion. O Lord, that there may be hunger here in this company, that it may be that much loved book, that much searched into book. Lord, how we fear There is but an outward searching at best. But Lord, that thou would stir the hearts with deep desires, and that those precious words may be known in the heart, and that therein the ways of salvation may be known. Oh, bless it throughout this land. Prosper the labor of those that translate. And Lord, that thou might thwart the efforts of Satan who seeks to destroy that word and to make it of little use. Oh, we plead unto the Almighty God, thou who art far greater than Satan's wiles, and thou who art able to perform wonders and to break down barriers, send that word now, Lord, amongst this world. Oh, that there may be yet multitudes from the four corners of this earth drawn unto Jesus, as thy word has declared. Lord, our need is great. Oh, look down from heaven in mercy. Oh, Father, we would bless thee. We'd bring forth our thanksgiving offerings to thee again this day, and thank thee for the day of rest. Thank thee, Lord, for every outward blessing. How great are thy mercies, how great is thy faithfulness. How extensive, Lord, is thy goodness to the good and to the evil, to the wicked and the just, and thou sendest thy rain throughout this world, and thy blessings of the seasons upon this land. Oh, we would thank thee, Lord, that thou hast spoken, and thy word shall remain true. Thy covenant with Noah shall remain to the end of time. And so we do praise thee, O Lord, for thy power, for thy love, for thy mercy, for every goodness and every blessing of thine, that thou hast promised to give unto Zion. Oh, we bless thee and praise thee that thou hast decreed and chosen thy people, for surely then it shall come to pass. Oh, we thank thee that thou art Almighty God, able to break the deadest of hearts, the hardest of hearts, and the most rebellious of sinners. And we praise thee, O God of love, that thou hast shared with this love with mankind, and thou hast brought into the hearts of hateful ones that precious love to constrain, to enable, to walk in thy ways. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, for that precious word that thou hast given us, the revelations of Jesus Christ, and do praise thee that thou hast sent thy Son, thy glorious only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to save sinners, to shed his blood, to suffer on behalf of those who could not bear thy wrath, to endure thy vindictive justice, to bring in a satisfaction and a peace, to reconcile sinners unto thyself. Oh, that blessed Jesus who willingly went to Calvary and allowed himself to be nailed to that cross, and who endured the hatred and vehemence of his enemies and spoke not a word in response. Him who prayed for his enemies, him who opened up the doors of heaven, and him who even now resides there in heaven at thy right hand, interceding on behalf of his people. O Father, we bless thee for the Spirit, the Holy One, that sacred dove that descended upon Jesus' head, him who shall teach, him who dwell in the temple of his people, him shall witness the truth of Christ, make known thy laws, make known the wonders of that blood of Christ. Oh, bring in health, bring in happiness and joy, and enable the tongue to sing the songs of praise. Oh, Father, do grant us now, as we turn to thy word, thy sacred presence and thy blessings, how we covet, Lord, thy blessings, faith, hope, and love. O come to dwell with us, and leave not one this day alone, till we may have our hearts touched, and we be brought upon the gospel way. O prepare us, Lord, for that never-ending eternity. And we do pray all these things in that precious merit, in that glorious obedience, in the wondrous victories of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Continue with singing from hymn number 174. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. 174.
going to need the Lord's help again for this afternoon. We draw your prayerful attention to Philippians chapter 3 and the 8th verse. Philippians 3 verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And to continue on in 9th verse, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We want to speak this afternoon, beloved friends, as the Lord may enable me, on this sacred and solemn truth of Christ being all and in all. The life in Christ, the life from Christ, and the life through Christ. And truly to live this life, we must of necessity lose all things. All things that pertain to earth, and all things that pertain to flesh. All that is of ourselves, beloved friends, must fall away, must be taken away. Oh, we do need that hand of God to lead us, to guide us, and to work mightily within us, that we might find the same pathway, the same life experiences of the Apostle Paul. What value then, beloved friends, do we put on things? What value then do we put on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to things? And when it comes to scales and to balances, how, beloved friends, will our confession and our knowledge and our experiences weigh in the balances? Have we come, dear friends, to Psalm 62, verse 9? Yea, all men, the men of low degree, are a vanity, that is a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. Yea, to be laid in the balances, they are lighter than vanity. Can we come here, beloved friends? Oh, what wretched creatures we are, what treacherous creatures we are, what sinful creatures we are. Oh, what little resemblance or no resemblance we have of Christ, no conformity to his image, no knowledge of his precious person, no need of the dear Savior. What do these things mean to your hearts, dear friends, this afternoon? We have to come with that Belshazzar, the other reference of balances, of scales, Daniel 5:27. Mene tekel upharsin, that word which means weighed in the balances and found wanting. Have you been weighed in the balances, beloved friends? Found wanting in respect to our text words this afternoon? Yea, doubtless I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count the but dung, that I might be found in the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Did you notice Jesus Christ, my Lord? That personal possession? The Lord of lords and King of kings? The Lord, the anointed one sent down from heaven, who has become my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Beloved. And what a solemn way, what a crucifying way in which he has led me and taught me and directed me to be totally dependent upon him, to come into that understanding that my hands are filled with blood. My hands seek the things of this earth. But how little my hands are prone to pray. How little my hands are occupied in searching in the Word of God. How stands the case today, friends, in the balances in yours and of you, in the scales of, in God's eyes? We cannot help, and we will bring it in as lovingly as we can today, beloved friends, concerning the loss of our beloved brother and his family, of their dear father, of the widow left behind, of the breaking of that tie of marriage, of the solemn scene of that human corpse lying in the coffin, the breathless body of a dear father who is now passed away and is no more. Oh, did we contemplate these things, dear friends? if we were there? Or did we contemplate him and meditate him in our thoughts as the day passed by us? And another life ceased to exist. Did we meditate on these solemn truths and wonder when we will be the next to be called before the judgment seat of that great God? And whether or no that we are prepared for that time that is rapidly approaching us. For if weighed in the balances, low men are vanity or a vapor. And if our lives are as a tale that is told and we soon fly away. Are we prepared, beloved thing, friends, for that time when all the things of this earth shall perish and vanish away? And our soul shall ascend unto him who gave it. Did we look at that dead body? And did we wonder? Did it bring us, beloved friends, to that cry, Lord, prepare me. Lord, attend to my path. Oh Lord, cut off all the things of time and sense and prepare me. Reveal the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ within me. These things, friends, we must bring before you. What a solemn time it is. What a sad time for our beloved friends. As they have lost a loved father, a dear one, one who has spoken to them time after time. Oh, they've heard his voice so many times that shall never hear his voice again. These are the realities of life, beloved friends. Equally so, the reality of life is that you and I must be saved. That you and I must be prepared for the day that we know not. We must watch and be sober. That we might become wrestlers at the throne of grace. That we might become pleaders at the throne of grace and mercy. That we might be cut off of the things that have no value. The things that have no worth. The things that cannot prepare us for eternity. Paul said in our chapter here, I do count all things but loss and dung. That word dung means rubbish or refuse. It means dirt or worthless things. Well, Calvin and John Gill say it can also be interpreted as food for dogs. Worthless things that cannot pertain to the eternal welfare of our soul. And all these things, friends, need to be cut off. We must suffer the loss of them. To prepare us for that never-ending eternity. Did we reflect on these things yesterday? Did he touch our heartstrings? Did they make us tremble? Desirous to know what it is. That is Paul's declaration of the excellency, oh, the sweet savor. The sufficiencies in Jesus Christ. The wholesomeness of his doctrine and the wholesomeness of his words. And the precious counsel of Christ Jesus. And the glorious healing balm of the dear Savior's blood for the wounds, the putrefying wounds and sores of his dying children. And the sacred cleansing of that fountain of blood opened up for sin and uncleanness. These, beloved friends, are precious things that far, far excel the things, all other things. But what do we know, friends, of Christ Jesus? Are we not alarmed? Are we not touched in our hearts? Are we not aware, friends, that time flies past us? And it may be that even today, another one will be called to judgment. Another one summoned before the Most High God to give an account. Have we considered this week? We will never forget, we must never forget, we ought never to forget to acknowledge God for his bounteous goodness, for his rich favors, so we too were able to unite Jeremy and Miranda in marriage. What a wonderful thing when husband and wife are yet brought together in love and they might begin a life together as many other couples in our midst have done as well. Oh, what blessings. Blessings have been given young Micah, the child that they have. Oh, how good God is in this sense, and all our other children, and all the bounteous goodness of God day by day. Oh, we would never be friends. We would never belittle these things. We would never be unappreciative of these things. But the vital thing, beloved friends, in our midst and in our lives is to know Jesus. To know the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus. To know the sufficiencies of Christ in his sufferings and his dying. To become one with Jesus. And whatever God wills in our lives, if it means that he cuts off all the things of this earth, if he brings us to the place of poverty, if he brings us to the place of great distress, if he keeps taking away all that I might have Christ, that I might have the power of Christ, that I might know the resurrection life in Christ, that I might know the sufferings of Christ, that I might be sustained by Christ, that I might have comfort through Christ in my life. That was Paul's message. It is a message again this afternoon, our beloved friends. Knowing that Mr. Niels is not the last one that's going to die. Far from that. The grave is one of those seven things that are never satisfied. Its mouth is open wide and it yawns and it asks for more and more and more. It can never be satisfied. And so we would say, beloved friends, in this time when the grave is opening up its mouth and begging for more and more souls, oh, have we become seekers after God and seekers after his righteousness? We want to begin, friends, with the solemn reality of the necessity to lose all things. We must be brought to that place, beloved friends, to lose all things of self. We must be brought to that place with Paul, that we drop off all our confidence in our religion, all confidence and boasting in our faith, or our self-erected hopes, in confidences. We must be brought to that place like Paul. I have no confidence in my flesh. I don't want confidence in my flesh. I knew of that life. I knew of that testimony. If any man upon earth had the occasion to confidence or to raise a confidence or have a help in his own self or his own ambitions or his own religion, it was Paul. Paul says now, yeah, I count it all joy. Yea, doubtless I have suffered the loss of all things. And it is most necessary for me. I've seen it. Oh, the Lord has showed me it. Though I had been utterly blind to it in my life as a Pharisee, and I thought to gain all things by my religious experiences. Oh, how blind I was. Oh, how the Lord had to cut it all off. And friends, the Lord needs to cut it off from you and me too. We need to suffer the loss of our religion. We need to suffer the loss of all our false confidences. We need to be brought, friends, as a poor and lost and dying sinner. We need to feel the truths of Isaiah. Your hands are filled with blood. Wash them away with you. I cannot abide with you, your religion, your speech, your thoughts of yourself. It's a stench in my nostrils. It's an offense unto my precious Jesus. Have you lost, friends, your religion? Have we suffered the loss yet of that religion itself? And that righteousness by works? Even in our day, even in England now, it's trying to rear its ugly head amongst us of a righteousness by duty, faith, and by works. Oh, we renounce it with the strongest of vehemence, friends. It didn't save John Berridge, and it won't save us. It will not bring favor before God, and it will not bring peace into our souls. And God will have all the glory in himself. That no flesh should have occasion to glory in self. All glory shall redound unto God in the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Yea, doubtless, without a doubt, I have suffered the loss of all things. And dear friends, you and I, we too must suffer the loss of all things as pertains to confidence in our own righteousness, in our own works. And so we must suffer the loss, dear friends, of many things, and not just many things, and not most things, and not some things. We need to suffer the loss of all things that stands in the way of our salvation. All things that bring us a false peace, and all things that will bring us a false hope. All things upon which we have a false foundation, the sandy ground. All things that will bring us a pleasure that exceeds the pleasures in Christ. And all knowledge that takes the place of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I have walked that path. And by this letter to the Philippians, he describes what his religion is, what his faith is, what his confidence is, what his boasting is, what his strength and hope is. That is the excellencies of the knowledge of Christ Jesus in its various forms. How you might say with confidence and truth, Christ is my all and in all. Oh, Christ has prepared my soul. Christ has blessed my soul, and Christ has comforted my soul. Christ has conformed my soul into his image, and Christ has breathed life into my soul. Christ has prepared me. For he says in this chapter, yea, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yea, all my life and all my speech and all my knowledge and all my hope and time and eternity is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ. Can we say that, friends? Jesus Christ only. Jesus Christ from first and Jesus Christ to last. And Jesus Christ in every experience in my life. Oh, give me Christ or I die. He doubtless account all things but loss. How necessary it was for me to lose all things. How necessary it was for me to die in self. That Christ may become the theme of my song. That Christ may become the subject of my speech and the object of my love. That Christ, as we're speaking over and over these last few sermons, dear friends, that Jesus Christ is the means by which I am overcome my temptations. And overcome the tempter. That Jesus Christ, by his life within me, by his love poured into me, by his strength given to me, and by his prayers for me, I am able to endure all things and to overcome those awful temptations that vex and molest my mind. Is Christ such a wonder? Is Christ, beloved friends, such a wonderful friend? Such a near and dear object of our love? The plea of our prayers? How precious the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. Friends, when it comes to the day of our departure, shall we be able to say with Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Yea, I'm in a strait betwixt two things. One is to stay amongst the brethren, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to exhort, to warn, to plead. To call upon the dear hearers to repent and to seek salvation. Oh, the necessity of souls lies heavy on my soul. Oh, the need to be born again and the gospel preaching to sinners is such a great burden. But to depart is far better. Oh, I have fought the fight. I have finished my course. I have fought the warfare. I have fought a good fight. And from henceforth there is a crown laid up for me, the eternal crown of glory waiting for me. Oh, what a solemn thing, friends, when we may be able to say this, when our departure is at hand, when we lay on the sickbed and the deathbed, when our strength is waning from us. We have fought a good fight. We have fought the warfare. We've accomplished all through Christ who loved us, and Christ who overcame for us, and Christ who persevered within us. What shall you say, beloved friends, if we have not this Jesus in our souls? What shall it account for you if you have not lost all things? If you're full yet of self, or even, I would almost say more frightful, because today is a day when modern Christians, they have their foot in the world and they've got their foot on Christ. They've got the foot on self-confidence and they've got the foot on Christ. They can speak both languages. They're like the serpent with the forked tongue. But they've not lost all things, friends. They've never come to the place of a poor lost sinner. They've never been so anxious for the state of their soul. They've never tasted the true sweet excellencies of Christ, the dying Redeemer. They've never felt the deep necessity of that blood that cleanses from all sin. Hence they go talking about Christ, but not know the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. What a solemn day that we live in. What a solemn time. Oh, we do pray, beloved friends, that the Lord would begin with that losing all things, that we might come with Paul to say, oh, the Lord has begun a crucifying work in my soul. The Lord has begun a way of wounding, of smiting, of cutting off, of breaking down. The things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ, Paul says. Those things I thought were for the welfare of my soul, the benefit of my soul, the prosperity of my soul, I saw that these things were but the barrier of my soul's peace. They were a gate that prevented me coming into that true communion with Jesus. Behold, he prayeth. Suffering the loss, beloved friends, of confidence, and suffering the loss of our health, and suffering the loss of all our prosperity, to bring us to Jesus' feet, lost, poor, and needy. Do you have an urgency of spirit? Do we have a need, beloved friends, of Jesus? The healing from Jesus? Do we need a friendly Savior? Has a burning, fiery flame of the law entered the heart to consume? That will make you suffer the loss of all things. You will see yourself for the first time as a filthy, wretched sight and a filthy, wretched sinner in the sight of God. Have you seen that, friends? Have you suffered the loss of peace? One of the hymn writers says, wrapped up in self-conceit and pride, I shall have peace at last, he cried. Oh, has that peace been cut off? And the prophet Nathan entered the soul with an accusation, thou art the man, thou art the woman, or thou art the child. I often ask that. Like we've already asked, your friends, of the feelings of the heart at a funeral service of a dear father, a dear husband, a dear grandfather. Or one we may know. So we might say, dear friends, in the past week or our past month, oh, has the Lord truly begun to cut you off of this world? Or are you seeped yet in all its thoughts and all its pleasures and all its ambitions? Ask yourself that. Are we truly seeking that knowledge of Christ as a Savior of sinners? Loss of all hope. Loss of any life. And an utter loss to find that salvation in Jesus Christ. Paul counted all these things as losses, and he didn't regret them. He saw how needful they were. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. How needful was for him to suffer the loss of his own confidence and of his own boasting song. And he was not shameful to express it. He died. Have you died, friends? Have we suffered the loss of any hope, any expectation, any favor of God? And has that loss, that suffering, beloved friends, raised the eye unto Jesus for mercy? The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1 Corinthians. Be ye followers of me as I am of Christ Jesus. Are you followers of the Apostle Paul as he follows Christ? Are we followers of the Apostle Paul in his living experiences? Are we followers of the Apostle Paul in his sacred doctrines? Are we still walking, friends, in the steps of the pleasures of this world? In a false boasting and false confidence of self. Hoping, expecting, and never desiring to achieve anything greater than the things of earth. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. And that I say over and over, that the Lord would cut off every tie of the things of this earth, and that the Lord would cut off every tie of the things of self, and that the Lord would bring us as that people who only need Jesus, whose plea only is Jesus, that he might guide, sustain, that he might deliver, that he might comfort in every circumstance of life, and at the end of our lives, that he might fulfill the promises he's spoken to us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Or think of that word, as we are certain to face the sufferings and pains of Mr. Niels, the frailty of body and diseases that rack our bodies. I will make thy bed of languishing. Who will make your bed of languishing, friends, if we have no Jesus? Morphine? Is that your only hope? To take away the pain of the body? What a sacred thing. If we have the one, the excellencies of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his sacred comforts. We do believe that the dear widow has a living hope and a precious Savior to go to, who has promised to be the husband of the widow. The excellency of the knowledge of him whose promises are firm and true. Our dear brother, who knows something of the knowledge of the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the comfort in him in the midst of sorrows and pain and grief. What a sacred thing, beloved friends, in the realities of life, in the sorrows and death, that we have a Savior to go to. And a Savior's mercy to plead. And a Savior's precious bosom to lean upon. And the Savior's words to strengthen us in the day of languishing. And who's promised to take over Jordan's floods. Yea, the waters shall not overflow thee when thou passest through the rivers. And when the flame kindles upon thee, it shall not burn thee. That's his promises. Oh, dear friends, have we been brought to that place that we trust only in the excellencies of the knowledge of Jesus Christ? And come what may in the paths of life, our hope is founded on nothing less than the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He will never fail his people. He is that eternal Son of God. His promises are eternal. His love is eternal. His healing balm is eternal. His faithfulness is eternal. His friendship is eternal. His being touched with the feeling of our infirmities is forever and never ending, unfailing and unabating. How do we know him? Are we found in him? That's what Paul is emphasizing in our chapter to the Philippians, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of God in Christ Jesus. That is a perfect, spotless obedience through Jesus Christ, found in that glorious robe. Trying to explain in that wedding sermon again that there is a precious husband who far exceeds any husband upon this earth. Oh, to be found as a bride leaning upon his lovely bosom. To be clothed by this precious husband, Jesus Christ, with that garment that he has woven upon earth, stitched with that seamless thread of his eternal love. No flaw in that precious robe. It is a dazzling, glistening, illustrious perfection of Jesus Christ's spotless obedience and holiness. The Lamb of God without sin, without blemish. The High Priest having no sin, undefiled and separate from sinners. To be found, dear friends, adorned with that robe. We read that just before the meal on Friday night. In Matthew 22, I believe it is, that they're recording a marriage supper of the Lamb. And friends, do not deceive yourself. There was one found in the marriage supper. And though the one who bid to come to the marriage supper called him friend. He questioned him. How camest thou in hither, friend, having no wedding garment? How do we expect to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb and never having suffered all loss of all things? How think we to have peace with God, to die in peace, to die in favor and communion with God, and be reconciled with God, and never having suffered the loss of all things? Your own righteousness, your own holiness, your own confidence, your own boasting. He was speechless. You see, we have nothing to say at that point. And God didn't forgive at that point. We find recorded such a solemn thing. If your religion isn't real, if your profession isn't real, if the teachings are not from the heart and by the Holy Spirit, God sees through us. He sees through us all. And he said, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, few are chosen. That it would bring us, beloved friends, even now, to leave the doors of this house of prayer in the greatest and the most urgent of necessities. Are we walking the path of eternal bliss? Are we walking the path of our God? Are we truly, beloved friends, being cut off by the knife of God's law? Are we truly, beloved friends, being exposed to our own wretchedness, our own hypocrisy, our own filthiness, our own unworthiness? Are we brought to that place as a poor lost sinner? Are we brought to that place that we have no right, no good, no justice within us? No hope within us, no obedience within us? Nothing to plead before God? Have we lost all our confidence and all our religion and say, Lord Jesus, save me thy way. Save me in thy way, and thy will be performed upon me. And if I must lose all things, even prosperity, even my peace, even my health, oh, that I might not lose my soul. Paul said, doubtless we need to be brought to that place to have nothing left in self. That's as much to say, friends, has the law truly performed its work of crucifying us and condemning us and killing us to every hope and every expectation of life or favor with God? Because it did with Paul. That's why Paul was so eminently taught. Because the Lord had brought him into such deep, trying, and dark places in his own life's experiences. And not just in the beginning, all through his life we see Paul hated of the Jews. Oh, mocked and scorned for his preaching of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That life from Jesus Christ and him who lives in heaven now, his beloved high priest, his precious king, his Lord and Savior. The stumbling block of the Jews and the foolishness of the Greeks became his excellency, the knowledge of salvation. What is Jesus Christ to us, dear friends? If another should ask us to give a reason of the hope that is within us, if another should ask us how it is that we think that we are saved, or what is our thoughts of Christ, or what is our knowledge of Christ, what shall you say? What shall we say, friends, of Jesus? My Lord? The knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord? Or the Lord? The Savior of sinners? Or the Savior of my sins? The dying Lamb of God? Or my Lamb of God? Has he, beloved friends, replenished the suffering of loss? Has he restored us, dear friends, what we have lost in this world and lost in self? You see, the joy and rejoicing of our heart, though we have become condemned and ruined sinners, has he restored us into favor with God? Do we know what it is to be redeemed? My Redeemer? That the Lord pays the debts of our sins? That the Lord passes by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. That the Lord retaineth not his anger, but the Lord delights in mercy to me. Has the Lord truly, beloved friends, shown his mercy and his loving kindness to us? Has God been merciful to us? A sinner. Not that hastily repeated word that is so often repeated time after time. God be merciful to me, a sinner. No, dear friends. Oh, the burden of my sins, the anxiety of my sins, the weight of my sins, the groaning on account of my sins, the filthiness because of my sins, the perverseness of my spirit because of my sins, the rebelliousness of my heart because of my sins. The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Jesus Savior of my sins. How excellent is the name of Jesus Christ. How precious, we sung it, is the name of Jesus Christ. It soothes the wounds. It binds those wounds of a soul. It is an excellent name. It is a sweet savor of salvation to those who are lost and condemned. They have suffered the loss of all hope. Heaven's doors have been shut up. Heaven is barred to them. And then through the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his glorious righteousness, his precious favor, him who is the Redeemer, him who opens up the gates of heaven through his righteous works. Oh, we see the gates of heaven opened up unto us and acceptance unto God through the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus, friends, he's no imagination. He's no fancy, he's no dream. He's the reality of a sinner lost and a sinner saved. He's the reality and the blessed song of one liberated out of darkness and out of the clutches of Satan into his own glorious arms. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is the wonder of wonders to one condemned and damned to die. And plucked out of the clutches of hell. Jesus is the one, beloved friends, through the excellency of the knowledge of him who endured the temptations of Satan. Jesus is the one who controls my lusts, the ragings of my heart, through his precious blood and his wondrous love. It is through Jesus I lose a loss of all hope in self and any confidence in self, and I cling fast to his garment. Through him I shall live, and him I shall reign forever and ever. Oh, the wonders of Christ, that he knows my conditions. He sees Satan assaulting my soul. He sees Satan tempting me and harassing me and plaguing me and perplexing me. Oh, and he prays for my soul. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my praying Savior, my praying High Priest. And friends, how shall we ever know the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ until we taste something of our utter poverty? That we have no strength, no might against Satan's temptations. And that we cannot in and of ourselves demand that Satan be gone. It is through the armor of God, it is through the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that we shall ever have a victory over Satan. And to come to the excellency of this knowledge, oh, Jesus has come. Oh, the power of Jesus Christ has commanded that Satan must depart. Do you know, friends, something of this excellency? The melting of a heart, I will never leave you and never forsake you, ever. Plagued, harassed, perplexed, bowed down into the regions of darkness and the shadows of death, and yet not forsaken. That is the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, or, and Calvin says we may interpret it slightly different, that we might find those things, those graces, those riches in Christ, which far exceed the dung of the things of this earth. And be found in him. Are we found in him? And are we living a life in and through him, friends? Where is your strength? Where is our hope? Where is our confidence? And what is our song? What is the covering to cover our nakedness? Fig leaves won't do you. Adam and Eve tried that. And God saw through them. And God clothed Adam and Eve with the coats of skins and the shedding of blood.
And God must clothe us, beloved friends, in those coats of skin, those coats of skins as well, with the shedding of the blood of Christ. Have you suffered the loss, friends, of those fig leaf coverings? We're thinking here in this end of this chapter, it says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And by the way, let me just add this, and maybe I'll be slandered for it, but I don't care. That person who writes that blog, crowblog.com, that person who writes that blog is one who minds earthly things. Because if you don't need a new heart, and you think you can come to Jesus Christ and believe in Him and be saved, and if you have the audacity and the impudence to say such a thing, you are a minder of earthly things. As if we can come to Christ and believe in Christ and it will all be well. That is a god of the belly. That is a minding of earthly things. That is to trust in these filthy hands and this filthy heart and these rotten eyes to do anything good. And I'm not ashamed to say that. My hope, beloved friends, is when the Lord, He cuts off everything that I am. He makes me see I am a wretched sinner. I'm a filthy sinner. I'm unable to maintain my way. And except that that blessed Savior cleanses my heart through His presence, I will never believe in Him. I will never trust in Him. And I will never mind the things of the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Never. Those people who have a pretense of Christ and the language of Christ are utter strangers to the true excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I will stand responsible for this saying for myself. I will. I'm not ashamed of that. For our conversation is in heaven. That doesn't mean, friends, that we can talk about heaven. And that doesn't mean that we can just speak of Jesus Christ and then our conversation is heaven. That's not what it means. It means my confidence. It means my boasting is in Jesus Christ who has ascended into heaven. If I shall ever come to heaven, it is through the prayers of my Savior. It is through the virtue that flows down from Christ, my victor, my conqueror. It is through the life that He commands that I should have and receive. It is through His prayers unto His Father. "Father, I will that these whom Thou hast given me be with me in heaven, that they may behold my glory which I had with Thee before the world was." That's a conversation in heaven. A conversation from whence we look for our Savior, which is in heaven, as one who follows in the footsteps of Paul and follows in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And humility of spirit and acknowledgement that all that I have is of Christ and all I shall ever have is of Christ. I think of Paul who says, "Who had delivered, who doth deliver, and we trust will yet deliver." That my entire conversation, my spiritual conversation, is from Jesus Christ. Jesus, looking unto Jesus, what does that mean? Looking by faith, a faith given from heaven, a faith applied to us. I don't have the faith to exercise, and we have nothing within us to exercise that faith. It is the grace of God, for by grace through faith are you saved. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created unto Jesus Christ, furnished to every good work. We need to lose everything, friends, that Jesus Christ might become all. And then we read this, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body." It's all right here. Our bodies are sin and depravity and wickedness and wretchedness. It is the presence of Christ and the power of Christ and the life of Christ, the excellencies of these knowledges of Jesus, that are the peace of my soul and that I rest upon forever and ever. That's a looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despising the shame. And then it says that it may be fashioned like unto His own glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. He, through his power, is able to subdue all things. Has he subdued, friends, things in your heart? Has he subdued your lusts, your earthly passions, your strivings for the things of this earth? Has he subdued your rebellion? I will not have this man to reign over me. Have you become, beloved friends, one cut off of your power and of your righteousness? Has he subdued all these things? Has he softened your hearts? Has he tamed your wild spirits? What is Christ? What is Christ to us this afternoon? What is the beloved Savior, dear friends? The chiefest of 10,000, according to the excellency of the knowledge of him, of his love to me, of his closeness to me, of the proximity of my dear Savior to my soul, of his sacred promises to me, of the cheering rays of the Son of Righteousness, of the healing of his wings? Is he, beloved friends, the hiding place and the refuge of our soul? And have we found shelter under his wings, and Satan has pursued us, and Satan has threatened to consume us? Is that why Jesus Christ is precious? Paul said, that I might know him, and be found in him. That I might know him, have a knowledge of him. That I might know the power of his resurrection. Not my power, not my sustaining my own self, not my religion, not my prayers, not my goodness, that I might know him. That I might glory in the dear Savior who broke the bands of hell. It was not possible that death should hold him. God rose him up out of death into life, that he might breathe that life, that resurrection power of himself into his beloved, dying, helpless, poor Martha's, Mary's, Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? Do you believe it? Have you tasted it? Being brought from death. A corpse. Just like that poor corpse that we saw. No breathing. No movement. No stirring. No heat. Death. But the Lord brings his people out of that state of death into spiritual life. The Lord. Not you, not me. The Lord does it. And the Lord maintains that life to the very end, after he cuts everything off, friends. After we've lost all our life and lost all our hope and lost all our confidence. Oh, do we believe he is our resurrection life? I'll think of that word too. And Jesus stood up in the temple. I think it's in John 7, I think it is where it says. And Jesus stood up in the temple and he said, I am, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Do you thirst, friends? Do we thirst for life? Are we panting? Are we sighing? Are we strengthless in that sense, except the Lord will grant us, oh, the quenching of our thirst? The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the fountain of living waters. What is Christ to you, to me, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed to speak of his name? Are we utterly ignorant to the beauties of his name? To the wonders of his name? Could we, dear friends, wrap him in our arms in a loving embrace? Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, do we rejoice, dear friends, in the scenes in which Jesus has drawn nigh. And love has melted our hearts and the wonders of Calvary's cross is made known to us, that I might know him. Or are we, friends, in that place where the Lord knows, oh, I long to know him, and the chief desire of my soul is that I might know him? Are we pressing towards the mark? Oh, what an encouragement, friends, if we may, even at this moment, having the longing desire, oh, that I might know him, that I might know something of the excellency of his knowledge. And Lord, if thou should be pleased to cut off everything in life, oh, do not deny me my request, that I might know thee, that I might receive the answers of my prayer, that I might be prepared for the day of judgment. Lord, it is fast hastening. Is that your fear? Lord, the judgment day is fast hastening. Oh, that I might know the excellencies of what the minister speaks of. Oh, that I might find thee drawing near to my soul and saying, I am thy salvation. Oh Lord, I'm a fearing, trembling soul. And the word says the unbeliever and the fearing shall not enter. But Lord, thou canst take my fear away and fill it with love. Is that your desire? Is that, beloved friends, the cry, the plea unto God? That's in that process, dear friends, of losing all things and desiring to have a oneness in Christ and only Christ. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. We pray, beloved friends, that the Lord will give us that blessing. And it's a hard way. It's a trying way. We lose all things, friends, being conformable to his death. We're brought in the furnace of affliction. Oh, he's the refiner, the refiner's fire, the fuller's soap. Oh, who shall abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand in his countenance? For he's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. You lose all things, friends. It's burned off like the fire refiner's fire. And what is burned off? Why, your dross and mine. And we're filled with dross. We're filled with wood and with hay and with stubble. We're filled with false doctrines and deluded hopes and false assumptions. We're filled with a false religion and a false Christ, and the Lord burns it all off. We're filled with the things of this world and the things of sense and the things of reason, and the Lord's people get it burned off. And if it wasn't for the refiner's fire, you'd never have it burned off, friend. You never would. But God has promised to his children, they shall suffer the loss of all things and rejoice that he's done it. May the Lord begin today, or further it today, that he might further the other part of the equation. That is the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Oh, may the Lord remember us. I feel such a burden, friends. There's such an urgency for the need of salvation. We live in such dark and trying times, and we hasten to the day of judgment. Oh, to be prepared. To know Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ passeth all understanding. And the knowledge, the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, beloved friends, is the only thing worth having in this life. The only thing. And then when we might be taken from life to the place in the coffin, when others may walk by that coffin, then that word might ring, how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Then it won't matter. Because then the soul will soar up into heaven. And the soul will be united unto God, the precious Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ who healed the soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ who maintained that body all its life long through. The Lord Jesus Christ that was a source of comfort. The Lord Jesus Christ that was a healing. The Lord Jesus Christ that was the strength. The Lord Jesus Christ that was a source of the songs of praise. And that soul should come up to be forever and ever with him who loved it and who redeemed it and saved it. And promised, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that you might be with me. My Father's house are many mansions. And there you shall be forever and ever in my communion. Oh, friends, seek it now. Fall on your faces at the sight of God and plead, Lord, take all things of this world away. And Lord, that I might know the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Paul did. Blessed is that people. Amen. Let us sing now from hymn number 204. Self-righteous souls on works rely and boast their moral dignity. But if I list a song of praise, each note shall echo grace, free grace, 204.
And now, dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss and are gathered together this afternoon. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Let's close now with singing hymn 500.